This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Every day is just one heartbeat away from a headline. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
What do we know about the other allegations about William Farwell and Richard Devine as well? I know they have not been arrested. They've not been charged. I know they've stepped down from their positions. But there are allegations that are floating out there that there was some involvement there with them, with Sandra.
Yes, there are allegations that they were involved with sexual trysts, essentially, with her. Mm-hmm. You know, just this whole idea that she was somehow being passed around to his twin and his buddy is sickening. Do I think that that could have happened? Yes. I mean, just the fact that they stepped down and so forth, they're being looked at. But the question is it criminal? If obviously, if she was 15 and this occurred, that's statutory rape for both of those characters. But was she having consensual sex with them at the age of consent? Mm-hmm. That's the first question they've got to answer. And then second, to me, did they have any part of this cover up? Because remember, it's pretty much helps them out too, right? Yeah. I mean, for her not to be here. Mm-hmm. So I find that all very, very suspect. And I just hope, and I know the Bureau will, they are going to get the bottom. There will be no rock not unturned in this case.
I know it's still an ongoing investigation, and I know they did state that in the press conference last week, that there could possibly be more arrests because this is not done. I guess if we already have, one down, we have Matthew arrested and charged, why not the other two yet? Is there just not the evidence there yet? Do they have to keep digging more to find? I mean, it's quite an allegation to make out there without there being a lot of beef to it.
Well, there's a lot more to find. And remember, they, to me, stretch this statute to its fullest degree, mm-hmm. which is, murder of a victim witness, right? Mm-hmm. It normally, you find this in mafioso type cases where you charge somebody federally when they've killed one of your witnesses. Mm-hmm. This wasn't exactly that, right? This was saying that she was molested at the age of 15, which is a federal crime, and he killed the witness and the victim, mm-hmm. right, to cover up the crime. So they stretched this really to the nth degree. But Tony, what I think should happen, and I can't imagine it won't, I just can't imagine the Commonwealth isn't going to come back and charge Farwell with two counts mm-hmm. of a first-degree murder for her baby and for Sandra Birchmore. I think that would, at least in some part, help alleviate all the ill will mm-hmm. against this DA's department and the police departments that are involved.
There's a lot that needs to be corrected out there. I mean, what's your take on, I mean, just looking at some of the internals of this, of how this went down when the person that's named as person number two, which is a friend of Birchmore, who called the police saying, hey, I'm concerned. You have an officer over there. These are the allegations or what I've witnessed from my friend. I think you should investigate this. Look at this. It didn't go to HR. It didn't go to a commander. It didn't go to chief or somebody who would be above this to start looking in on it. And that's person number five, is the dispatcher who got that information. They took it directly to Farwell. Is this just how they operate of like, let's go directly to the proposed perpetrator and see what they have to say first?
Well, when looking at cases like this, Tony, I will say there are complaints that are so unfounded and bogus against police officers that filter into departments daily.
Sure.
It's really unbelievable. But nevertheless, when you have a complaint like this, you have to investigate it. And the last person that should be notified is the person that is, the subject of the allegation. It's, when you see something like this happen in a department and you, at least as an FBI agent, you just don't see anything like this within the bureau realm. Mm-hmm. And then working 15 years detached to other police departments, never saw anything corrupt like this. Mm-hmm. But it's out there. And I know that from working public corruption for years,
yeah.
Right? You know, when you're on the out, when I haven't been a part of anything, of seeing anything like that firsthand, only investigating it after or while it's occurring secondhand, if you will, or not secondhand, but in that a different capacity. And so if you're asking me if I'm surprised, no, mm-hmm. Heck no. Unfortunately, small little departments like this, listen, Tony, most of these officers, and I haven't done the background of everybody that's a Stoughton police officer back in this time. Mm-hmm. Most of them are straight out of high school.
Yeah.
Like they were buddies on the football team. You know, they all know each other, is or teeny towns and little towns that all surround each other. And they get almost no training. They go through a small police academy and that's it. The training stops there.
Yeah.
You know, the FBI has a program called the Law Enforcement Training for Street Survival that they started and that has huge amount of funding where FBI agents go out and train local officers mm-hmm. on how to conduct investigations just like this, mm-hmm. whether it's homicide, how to tell the difference, how to conduct yourself in terms of shoot, don't shoot situations. That's the primary thing they do, but they branch off into investigations as well. My whole point is that they're totally untrained.
Yeah.
And I would say that the public, unfortunately, often doesn't have police officers that have any experience that are conducting these types of investigations.
Yeah. And we're sitting here hoping for the best. And we think that, oh, yes, they know what they're doing. They're going to handle this correctly. And person number five here, the dispatcher who informed Farwell of the allegation, was that person corrupt or was that person just ignorant, I guess, is the question, which I could see it being very just ignorant. Like you were saying, these people were, you know, likely went to high school together. They're on the football team. They're in the same small town. So they're still doing the same small town stuff into adulthood. And who knows, the dispatcher could have been, you know, Jeannie, who they had the class in English with a couple years ago. I want to let you know, Matt, you know, there's so many ways where I could see this being just utter ignorance and the way that, and then it enables people like this to be able to get away with things undetected because they have such power without many checks going on.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. And for anyone who wants to see an insight into it, you know, in trial, we saw this happen with Detective Proctor, in a sense.
Yeah.
He started texting all his high school buddies, you know, details and things he should have never been texting about the case and saying, you know, horrible things in these text messages. And that's the sort of kind of relationships, I think, that go on with these small town departments and their buddies.
Yeah.
And it's the same type of deal. I could just see, you know, this dispatcher saying, oh, gosh, got another huckleberry here. Now mm-hmm. they're saying you know, you had some affair with an explorer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And laughing it off and him laughing it off. But that's where things have to quit and or have to change. And I think, Tony, it's really hiring outside police chiefs in these departments and with the money they're making, they actually make, I looked into this, I thought, well, they probably just weren't very well paid. They're pretty well paid.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine that they can't get people with college degrees, with people who have more in their game
yeah.
than just being a buddy on the force.
I mean, that's really what it feels like in some of these towns. It feels like, well, all the jocks went and became police officers. And if you didn't go to college, you didn't go to anything else. We took this training. We're going to stay here. We're going to work here. We're going to make this money. And suddenly we have all this power and we have, you know, opinions on people. We have vendettas to settle. We have all these things to do around town, and now there's suddenly the power. And it, when it goes unchecked, you know, I guess the, you know, the bar for what's acceptable just keeps being pushed back and back and back because they realize, oh, I can get away with this, get away with that, I'll get away with this. And it goes on. I mean, literally for years, but it's a decade in this situation with nobody being the wiser. And is that just because there's just so much trust there and everybody's kind of covering for everybody. And does it that nobody wants to think the worst in each other, that, you know, everybody kind of bends the rules a little bit, but nobody's would go that far. I mean, do you think they were shocked by this when this arrest came down, when the feds went in and finally arrested him? Do you think the police department was surprised by the gravity of what this guy was up to?
I certainly hope that they were surprised. And I also want to make a couple of comments here. First of all, Farwell is far behind your average, you know, just, you know, Mayberry RFD, jock or whatever out of high school. And again, I don't know all of his background. I do know he was in the military. I do know he served on another police force before he joined Stoughton. So he was actually probably more trained and more qualified than most candidates that the Stoughton Police Department. So I do want to caveat it with that. Yeah. I know he actually had a pretty strong background. But what Farwell had that I don't think most any of these officers have is a complete depravity, you know, a absolute sick monster that now has a badge. I mean, that's what we're seeing. He hasn't been convicted, but that's what we're seeing is a sick monster. And I think that is very rare to have a monster like that, you know, in a position that he was in. So I wanted to make that point. And secondarily, I don't think we can ever broad brush. There is no brush strokes right now that we know of that fade over into the Karen Reed case. Mm-hmm. There just aren't.
Sure.
There's just, we don't have anything like that. No facts like that. But I wonder how far up the chain this could go. And I want to know what they find on this ME. Mm-hmm. Are we going to hear just ignorance?
Yeah.
Or are we going to hear of a bad guy that had some sort of relation?
Well, and then you got to look at it too. If that ME, if they're ignorant, well, then that plays to their advantage if they're just an idiot. But if there is some sort of collusion here, I think they're going to have to start looking back at every single ruling that that ME has done in their career and go, is this accurate or is it not? Because if they're going to do it for one, you got to assume it may not be their first rodeo.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.